of New York City, coronavirus casualties, tornado tragedy in Tennessee, all this and more tonight. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom News Program. Many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. Mr. and Mrs. America, Lou Caverly, and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are here to record apostasy, political and social evils, and the acts of courageous men and women who stand against the assaults on and the outrages against the human body and spirit. And Lou, I believe.
Yes, Elizabeth.
You have something there.
First of all, our hearts go out to all our friends at WWCR Nashville and their families and friends. Our prayers continue for their well-being and safety. Of course, you can hear us at WWCR.com Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, on WWCR's Worldwide Shortwave, Thursdays at 8 p.m. on a frequency of 4.840 megahertz. It repeats Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on a frequency of 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard on the Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and it repeats at 11 p.m. They have more of our programs during the week. Visit LWRN.net to see the schedule.
And now, Lou, tell us about the tornado.
I will. We have one other place you can hear us, by the way, and that's kstartalkradio.com.
Yes, and really there's a phone number that some of you could phone in and listen on, and you can go to that website and you can find out probably all that information. Tell that one more time.
Yes, that website is K, letter K, startalkradio.com. Yes, Elizabeth, we have the latest news.
And I believe it's from the AP, isn't it?
Yes, this is from the Associated Press, Nashville, Tennessee. It appeared on
March the 4th,
that's right, 2020.
And you will be hearing this program March 5th. You'll want to tell others about this program, and you will want to give warnings to all of your friends, neighbors, to stock up on food. We mentioned a company called Lehman's, capital L-E-H-M-A-N apostrophe S. It's in Ohio, and they have a lot of canned meats that are supplied by, I believe, Amish farmers, so they're really pretty natural and good. And also, the Cal Ben Soap Company is really a wonderful company, and perhaps later I can give you the phone number for it, but you can visit the website 5starsoap.com. It is really, really wonderful. It doesn't have toxins in it, because you may have trouble finding some of those Procter & Gamble products like Tide, etc. And this is very economical. I get nothing from this company, but I heard about it years ago on Alex Jones when it was headed by Marty Schachter, and he was such a witty, funny man, and he would come on with Alex and he would recite limericks, and his son Terry has continued this wonderful business. So you really do want to look into this, possibly getting soap. You can get big 25-pound boxes, and that will probably last you about 6 months if you have a small family. You just use a couple little scoops each time. Lou and I love it because we don't have all of that toxic mercury and stuff that's in a lot of the fabric softeners and stuff like that. So anyway, please start stocking up and know that you have things like alcohol on hand, that you have paper towels, that you have toilet paper. I think, didn't we hear that there was some kind of a run on that? It was at Japan or South Korea, Lou, do you recall?
Well, I'm not sure.
I think
it was one
Japan.
Of those countries, either
I
that
think.
Or Italy.
Yeah, yes, it may have been Italy, too.
Well.
All right,
yeah.
So let's go ahead with the tornado, and we really do send our prayers down to Tennessee.
Yes. Once again, from the Associated Press, rescuers search through shattered Tennessee neighborhoods for bodies Tuesday, less than a day after tornadoes ripped across Nashville and other parts of the state as families slept. At least 25 people were killed, some in their beds, authorities said. The twisters that struck in the hours after midnight shredded more than 140 buildings and buried people in piles of rubble and wrecked basements. The storms moved so quickly that many people in that path could not flee to safer areas. Said Putnam County Mayor Randy Porter, quote, "It hit so fast a lot of folks didn't have time to take shelter. Many of these folks were sleeping," unquote. The governor declared an emergency and sent the National Guard to help with searching for the bodies and any survivors. An unspecified number of people were missing. Early findings by National Weather Service survey teams indicated that the damage in Nashville and Wilson County to the east was inflicted by a tornado of at least EF3 intensity, the agency said. One twister wrecked homes and businesses across a 10-mile stretch of Nashville that included parts of downtown. It smashed more than three dozen buildings, including destroying the tower and stained glass of a historic church. Another tornado damaged more than 100 structures along a 2-mile path of destruction in Putnam County, wiping some homes from their foundations and depositing the wreckage far away. Daybreak revealed landscapes littered with blown down walls and roofs, snapped power lines, and huge broken trees, making many city streets and country roads impassable. More than a dozen polling stations were also damaged, forcing Super Tuesday voters to wait in long lines at alternative sites.
And I'd have to interject there. There was some research done by Alternative News on Hurricane Katrina. And supposedly, some of that research showed the thing turning around and coming there. This might be a highly suspicious thing. This might have been some weather modification to interfere politically. We don't know. Anything is possible, but pick it up.
Yes. In Putnam County, 80 miles east of Nashville, houses and businesses were completely flattened. In one neighborhood, volunteers found five bodies. Neighbors and sheriff's officers were still looking for two more. Nashville residents walked around on streets and sidewalks littered with debris. In neighborhoods where missing walls and roofs left living rooms and kitchens exposed, mangled power lines and broken trees came to rest on cars, streets, and piles of rubble. Said Nashville Mayor John Cooper, "We are resilient and we're going to rebuild." And we have a photograph here that shows a church, I don't know if it's a historic one, but a church, the East End United Methodist Church, and it says after it was heavily damaged by storms, Tuesday, March 3rd. And it shows a nice fellow, Sumant Josie, helping to clean up the rubble. Josie is a resident in the area and volunteered to help clean up. Tornadoes ripped across Tennessee early Tuesday, shredding buildings and killing multiple people. And
I think you had a quote from a woman there, too, about the noise.
Let me see. Oh, yes. Carly Peters said, quote, "Within about 10 seconds, the house started shaking. I jumped on top of the ground. He jumped on top of me. The ceiling landed on top of him. We're grateful to be alive." Also, another quote, this one by Paula Wade of East Nashville, "The dog started barking before the sirens went off. They knew what was coming. Then we heard the roar. Something made me just sit straight up in bed. And something came through the window right above my head. If I hadn't moved, I would have gotten a face full of glass."
And so, again, our hearts, our prayers go out to all of you down in Nashville and in that area that suffered this shocking development. And the next topic has me shaken to the core.
Yes, Elizabeth. Tuesday, March 3rd, when I came home from work, Elizabeth was too busy to pay much attention to my arrival. She was caught up in her own world, just finishing changing our living room from Christmas to springtime. The colorful red and white Christmas quilts were gone. Poinsettias had vacated the premises. The mantle now held arrangements of pastel springtime flowers and a tall white Easter cross. When I said, "Here, I got this, Elizabeth," her eyes still glazed with the fun of her own little decorating, would barely hear me. I thrust the article into her hands.
"Oh, no, this cannot be," I cried as I saw the headline. "This cannot have already happened." All thoughts of the pleasant little oasis of our home were now eclipsed by the murderous NWO. This was horrific news. The Harbinger, the book written by Jonathan Cahn, makes the strong case for 9/11 being God's judgment on an unrepentant America that even later on spat in his face by putting same-sex marriage into America's legal code. The Harbinger delineates how Ground Zero in New York was a short distance away from the church where George Washington took his first cabinet to pray. The sycamores are fallen, says Isaiah 9:11. Sure enough, just as Isaiah 9:11 arrogantly claimed the people there, they would rebuild the bricks. Politicians in America, not realizing they were speaking this judgment, politicians like John Edwards, the vice presidential candidate, and Speaker of the House Tom Daschle, stated publicly this kind of a braggadocio that we too would build bigger and better. But Kahn's book tells us when the new tree that was supposed to replace the type of sycamore that was demolished at Ground Zero was planted, it didn't matter that it was given the hopeful epithet, America's Promise. America's Promise withered and died. It has died many deaths spiritually since 2001. Since the New World Trade Center 1 has been lit up, first in rainbow colors to celebrate so-called gay victory, and later it was lit in pink to accentuate Governor Cuomo and the Virginia Governor Northam's barbaric ideal of killing babies who actually survived abortion. When the ancient Israelites failed to stop taking their infants up into the groves of Moloch and throwing them into the fires, God could no longer keep their borders shut from Israel's invading enemies. He could no longer protect them physically. Is this latest horrific news? We just can hardly absorb it. But here it is. I'm going to read the article to you now. And recall that I have an essay on it at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. This was Monday, March 2nd, 2020, written by Lance D. Johnson at NaturalNews.com. NYC fast-tracking 5G, installing thousands of new small-cell antennae on traffic lights and street lamps. The United States is in a race to be the world leader in 5G wireless technology. In September 2018, the Federal Communications Commission passed a 5G fast plan to help the telecom industry install thousands of new cell towers by removing local authority over their placement, permitting, and fees. Did you hear that? That was very important. In October 2019, Texas Representative Pete Olson introduced H.R. 4741, which gives the FCC and the telecom industry more power to advance 5G quickly without adherence to existing environmental and human health laws. Small government Republicans want to take advantage. And I should say that this author said, quote, small government. That's satirical, because this is anything but small government. This is the control grid. This is the killing grid. We are now living in a society that wants to kill humans. And I guess they're going to light up the Trade Center, probably in red, for the blood of all the neighborhood children in the schools that are going to have these little boxes there and be under this power that is just horrendously greater than even smart meters, and they're bad enough. So, again, these small government Republicans want to take advantage of 5G's economic benefit. We've heard President Trump trumpeting this. Yes, everything is mammon, isn't it? But what about our lives? What about our health? What about our children? So this would allow the telecom industry and big tech to bypass local government oversight. As unchecked wireless radiation and data collection pillages communities throughout the United States. And then the next headline is NYC introducing thousands of new sources of millimeter wave microwave radiation as 5G is tracked throughout the city with ambitions to become a smart city. New York City is currently fast-tracking 5G, approving the installation of thousands of new small-cell antennae on traffic lights and street lamps. This practice isn't entirely new. The first four generations of wireless technology required the installation of cell towers and receptors throughout the city. 5G, however, takes it to a whole new level. On the electromagnetic spectrum, 5G radio waves are millimeter waves emitted in multiple shorter pulses. Because of this, the industry will need to install thousands of new small cell antennae throughout cities and communities, putting hundreds of thousands of people in the direct path of multiple radiation sources throughout the day. This influx of small cell antennae will interfere with people's lives, where they work, and where they sleep. Over the past 15 years, New York City has installed over 6,000 poles to accommodate wireless technology. Another 5,000 are scheduled for installation across the five boroughs of the city. The New York City Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications has recently approved 10 franchise agreements with multiple companies to install 5G equipment on street lamps and traffic light poles, assaulting the city's occupants with thousands of new sources of millimeter wave, microwave radiation at every turn. The city has also approved fiber for 5G. Pervasive 5G wireless technology is inherently dangerous, as documented extensively by scientists. And again, go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and download my essay on 5G. I incorporated a lot of valuable information from a very important DVD on the subject, the harm of it. Back to the article, the telecom industry has no scientific evidence to prove that it's safe. In fact, the first 5G technology that was installed in New York neighborhoods in 2017 caused startling symptoms from nearby residents and their pets. Dr. Naomi Wolf broke the news about the symptoms people experienced just by living next to the 5G equipment. These serious health concerns have not stopped the telecom industry. In the race for 5G, cities will continue to fast-track hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of radiation-emitting small cell antennae on city streets and in residential neighborhoods. Because 5G causes oxidation of cells and DNA damage, immune deficiencies, and cancer rates will continue to accelerate in America. You know, I have to interject, this is a slow kill. Maybe it won't be that slow on children and older people or sick people. Back to the article, a 2018 study, quote, towards 5G communication systems, are there health implications, end of quote, found that millimeter waves, quote, alter gene expression, promote cellular proliferation and synthesis of proteins linked with oxidative stress, inflammatory and metabolic processes. When this oxidation impacts innate immune molecules located on lung cells, the population becomes much more susceptible to mutating pathogens that affect the respiratory tract. Isn't that interesting, listeners? With the capability to decimate innate immune cells, 5G ultimately puts people at increased risk of contracting up-and-coming, ever-mutating viruses such as coronaviruses and influenza viruses. New York City is a ticking time bomb for an outbreak of infectious disease. And if you look at my article at DividedKingdomRadio.com, you will see that it is much, much more harmful technology even than the smart meters. And there was a video, Take Back Your Power, in which the investigator found that just standing in front of the smart meters for a few minutes, the blood cells began to clump irregularly. In other words, there was a DNA effect. What in the world is this going to be? It's not going to be too good. Is this latest horrific news actually part of God's continued judgment post 9/11?
I want to read now from Revelation chapter 18, verses 10 through 20. That's Revelation 18, 10 through 20. And speaking of the kings of the earth, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her.
A city that the Bible said trafficked in various merchandise, including, quote, the souls of men. How about it being one of the great shipping centers of the world for pornography to other nations? How about the center to celebrate the killing of babies and extolling the sexual perversity and the changes in our society to the world? NYC?
This article says, New York emergency room doctor.
Yes, you know, now we're illustrating that there's more trouble, because God may take away the protection of us physically when we dishonor him. So it looks as though now sickness comes. Did the perversity and the kind of braggadocio that we are greater than God, did this help to take away the hand of protection? Yes, what is the trouble in the hospitals there, Lou?
And this is by Mike Adams. It appeared in naturalnews.com on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. New York emergency room doctor. There will be thousands of confirmed cases in the U.S. by next week. Dr. Matt McCarthy, a staff physician at New York Presbyterian Hospital, just went on national television and warned that there will be, quote-unquote, thousands of confirmed coronavirus cases inside the United States, quote, by next week, unquote. I certainly hope that he is completely wrong, but obviously he has a better vantage point for observing the progression of this outbreak than any of us do. As an emergency room doctor in New York, he is dealing with potential COVID-19 cases every single day. And as you will see below, he says that he has had to plead, this is in quotes, plead to test people, unquote, and that it is a, quote, national scandal, unquote, that more people have not been tested. As I discussed, and this is Mike Adams speaking, as I discussed in a previous article, up until just a few days ago, the CDC has had extremely restrictive guidelines for who should be tested for the virus. Only those who have visited China recently and those that have had close contact with a known victim were supposed to be tested. Obviously, this allowed a lot of potential victims to fall through the cracks, and now we have a major outbreak in the Seattle area. Why couldn't we have been able to test anyone that wanted to be tested from the very beginning? In South Korea, they have already, quote, built drive-through coronavirus screening locations, unquote. Health officials in South Korea tested 10,000 people for the coronavirus on Friday alone. This week, they built drive-through coronavirus screening locations, giving hundreds of patients an assessment of their health in just 10 minutes. The U.S. announced its first coronavirus case on the same day South Korea did. But 6 weeks later, less than 500 potentially infected Americans have gotten tests, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The agency's official test count, which had previously been updated daily, was stripped from the CDC site on Sunday, though U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, told ABC the same day that the U.S. had tested 3,600 people. And without a doubt, a lot of doctors around the country are quite upset about the current state of affairs. During his appearance on CNBC, Dr. McCarthy explained that he literally has had to, quote, plead to test people, unquote. He went on to say, quote, I'm here to tell you right now that one of the busiest hospitals in the country, I don't have it at my fingertips. I still have to make my case, plea to test people. This is not good. We know that there are 88 cases in the United States. There are going to be hundreds by the middle of the week. There's going to be thousands by next week. And this is a testing issue, unquote. You can watch video of Dr. McCarthy making these comments right here. And again, that's speaking of naturalnews.com. He has a link. The fact that he believes that there will be thousands of confirmed cases by next week should be making headlines all over the nation. But so far it isn't. Ultimately, the CDC should be held accountable for dropping the ball so dramatically. Not only have they not been testing enough people up until now, it also turns out that the test kits they initially sent out were, quote, problematic and potentially inaccurate, unquote. The following comes from CNBC. The CDC sent test kits earlier in the outbreak to public health labs around the country. But those kits were problematic and potentially inaccurate, CDC officials have since said. Because local clinicians can't depend on the test kits, some have had to ship samples to a lab with the ability to run the test, delaying the process of diagnosis and treatment. This virus could become the biggest public health crisis of our lifetimes, and the CDC response has been a complete and total disaster. At this point, coronavirus tests are still not available yet in New York City. Quote, testing for coronavirus is not available yet in New York City. City Department of Health spokeswoman Stephanie Buell said in an email late Thursday. She said, quote, the kits that were sent to us have demonstrated performance issues and cannot be relied upon to provide an accurate result, unquote. There is no excuse. For weeks, hospitals all over the nation have had to send samples to the CDC for testing. And this has greatly limited the number of Americans that have been able to be tested. If you believe it, only 32 people in the entire state of New York have been tested so far. And Dr. McCarthy is calling that a national scandal. That's in quotes, a national scandal. The team at New York Presbyterian Hospital is isolating suspected coronavirus patients and taking proper precautions to prevent the spread, McCarthy said. But, quote, they are hamstrung, unquote. He also said in New York State, the person who tested positive is only the 32nd test we've done in the state. That is a national scandal. Of course, he is right. The mainstream media should be hammering the story like there is no tomorrow. But other than CNBC, they have mostly been ignoring it.
I think that gives us a good look there God's protection is maybe being removed so that the evil and the tyranny are taking hold. And we must mention to you that a listener to our program, The Divided Kingdom, Al, has sent us an important article about the use of aspirin. And, of course, aspirin has wonderful uses for cardiac problems. I watched my own father, who almost died of myocarditis, and that was an inflammation of the muscle of the heart. And he was a very sturdy man, and he was incapacitated for over a year. And I watched him because penicillin wasn't really being used then yet for this problem, and he would take maybe, I don't know, 15 aspirin a day, and he would pop them into his mouth, and I would see his complexion go from gray to pink, and over a period of about 4 years, he really rebuilt his heart. But you don't want to be taking aspirin when you have the coronavirus. Now, here is an excerpt from listener Al from the Phoenix Journal Review, and this was March 8, 2006, back, you see, at the time of the bird flu, but I'll just give you a quick excerpt. By creating a fever, the viral infection is slowed down sufficiently so that the body's T cells can find the swollen, infected lung cells, surround them, and metabolize, literally eat the damaged cell with strong acids, which also break down the RNA viruses into basic amino acids. This effectively kills the viruses so that they can't reproduce. But viruses are not, something there I don't agree with, so I just will skip that little part. That they're not living things. I may as well say what it is, and you can't kill something that's not alive. I think they are living, aren't they, Lou?
Well, that's a great debate. I think it all depends what you mean by learning.
All right,
I think.
Then we won't get into that. But anyway, yeah. It's so important. All the body can do is destroy or dissolve the RNA amino acid chain, which makes up the virus. Not knowing this, most doctors treat the flu with aspirin or fever reducers as a palliative treatment to ease the aches, pains, and delirium fever effects. The result is that within hours, the fever goes down and the patient feels much better. What neither the patient nor the doctor knows is that with only a normal 98.6 degree Fahrenheit body temperature, the viruses are allowed to reproduce unchecked. Within 72 hours, the viruses have grown from one or two virus bodies to millions or billions. The body is now completely overwhelmed. But while taking aspirin or cold medications, there are no symptoms or warnings of what is yet to come. And then the article goes on to say that as a last resort, the body tries to quickly flush the infection of billions of viruses from the lungs with massive amounts of T cells and fluid in the lungs to cough out the virus. This is called viral pneumonia. Soon, within hours, the patient is in the hospital. The doctors try to treat the now 105-degree fever with more antifebril aspirins or related medications to, quote, treat the fever. Then, within another 24 hours, the patient, suffocating and gasping for breath, is dead. So I believe that you can all be cautioned by that. And then we have an article here that I may have to abbreviate a little bit, but this was the question, February 26th at Natural News. Did the 5G rollout in Wuhan damage the innate cellular defense cells of the population, putting the people at risk of complications and death from coronavirus? So the article, it's very, very interesting because China had rolled out 5G in October 2019 in that province of Wuhan. And just 2 months later, the city, you see, got this new kind of coronavirus, which we believe from all reports is bioengineered. But what the question is raised by Natural News is, were these immune systems more compromised than normal? Were they more vulnerable because of the 5G? Does 5G cause severe inflammation, damaging the innate immune system? Could it be that 5G does cause DNA breaks, as documented by scientists? Do these DNA breaks potentially affect innate immune molecules, such as the mannose-binding lectins, which are primarily located on lung surfactant proteins A and D? MBLs are powerful defense molecules that have been clinically studied to target coronaviruses early in their replication cycle, preventing viral attachment. If MBL levels are compromised through oxidation, respiratory viruses can more readily take hold of the human host. Deficiency in MBLs also occurs when there is a three single point mutation. And so it goes on to talk about this, that actually what these MBLs do, they bind with sugars, allowing the protein to interact with many different kinds of viruses, bacteria, yeasts, fungi, and protozoa cloaked with such sugars. MBLs are unique because they can bind to the surface of microbes and activate the complement system in an antibody. They are one of the only antiviral systems that can break down the signature glycoprotein shell that surrounds coronaviruses, including Ebola, SARS, and MERS. Deficiency in mannose-binding lectins, remember, these are those things that are on the lungs. He goes on to say that this can be linked to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that these people may be genetically ill-equipped. They may not have the adequate number of these. So that's an interesting thing, too. Any people who have this kind of a COPD, you might be more prone to the coronavirus. Did the launch of this 5G wireless radiation cause oxidative damage to innate immune molecules like the mannose-binding lectins in the people of Wuhan, China? A very interesting question. We must zip on because we have so much important information to bring to you.
And now we have an article entitled Coronavirus on Track to Reach Every Country in the World. South Korea, Italy, and Iran see sharp increases in cases. This is by Arsenio Toledo, Monday, March 2nd, 2020, in naturalnews.com. Officials from the World Health Organization, WHO, warn that COVID-19 has the potential to infect people from every country on Earth. This announcement comes as countries all over the world are reporting a greatly increasing number of new cases. And Friday, WHO spokesperson Christian Lindmeier told reporters that the spread of COVID-19 is, quote, getting bigger, unquote. This grave warning comes a day after Tedros Adhanom, Director General of the WHO, suggested that the world is at a tipping point because the spread of the disease is currently outpacing efforts to contain it. Adhanom said, quote, the virus has pandemic potential. We are actually in a very delicate situation in which the outbreak can go in any direction based on how we handle it, unquote. In the past week alone, more cases have been reported outside of China than within. Since Monday, 29 different countries have reported their first cases of COVID-19. Among the most notable are Nigeria and Brazil, the first sub-Saharan African and the first Latin American countries, respectively, to have confirmed cases of COVID-19. The cases in both countries came from people who had recently been to the Legion of Lombardy in northern Italy.
And we have to interrupt.
Yes.
On Wednesday, the day before you're hearing the program, on InfoWars, there was quite a discussion, and I believe that Stuart Rhodes, the head of Oath Keepers, called for Trump to stop the domestic flights. We don't think this will happen, but it's what should be done, because Mike Adams talked a day or two ago that he believes very much that domestic flights are now spreading it. So you see now it's reaching all the hinterlands of the world. I mean, every last corner there, even into Africa. Go ahead, Lou.
That's right, and I'll just interject that I heard them say that it has spread to every continent in the world except Antarctica. And as I was driving back from the grocery store today, I heard them say that the first death had occurred outside of Washington State, a death in California.
Yes.
Now, back to the article. As of writing, a compilation of official reports is stating that there are 85,185 confirmed cases, including 2,924 deaths directly due to the disease or complications it brought about. A majority of these cases, about 95%, are in mainland China. On February 28th alone, seven different countries reported their first cases of the disease: Azerbaijan, Belarus, Iceland, Lithuania, Mexico, Monaco, and New Zealand. Meanwhile, three other countries, South Korea, Italy, and Iran, are recording alarmingly sharp upticks in COVID-19 cases. South Korean President Moon Jae-in officially raised the country's infectious disease alert to red, the highest level. This comes after the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases soared by several hundred over the course of only a few days. Government websites confirmed that on February the 28th alone, the country gained an additional 256 new cases, 70% of which come from Daegu, South Korea's fourth largest city. In Italy, over half of new cases, around 59%, have come from Lombardy, the country's largest region and home to over 10 million people, or 16.67% of the country's entire population. 11 towns in the region have been put in lockdown since the night of February the 21st. Quarantining over 53,000 people. As of writing, there are 888 confirmed cases, including 21 reported deaths and 46 recoveries. 531 cases alone were reported in Lombardy, and the cases in all the northern regions represent, over 96% of infections in the country. And it says, related Harvard professor, as much as 70% of the global population will catch coronavirus. And I believe if you go to the website, that's an actual link you can go to.
And I want to ask you, did you say that the first death was in California?
The first death outside of the state of Washington.
Yes.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's in California. Do you think it is this case that we were reporting on? I see here Jose Nino reported earlier and on bigleaguepolitics.com that doctors had no clue where this new case of coronavirus in Northern California came from. And I wonder if this is the person, because this new case, apparently, according to this article at Big League Politics, the resident who got this virus had not traveled since the outbreak started. And the CDC stated that the virus could be spreading locally, person to person. And to give you a little more history on that person, the person resided in Solano County and was currently receiving medical treatment in Sacramento County, according to a report. And they talked about Travis Air Force Base being located in Solano County. However, Americans stationed at this base who are returning from abroad have been subject to quarantines for novel coronavirus screening. UC Davis health officials claim that the patient was transferred to their facility from another Northern California hospital on February 19th. The UC Davis team had already been intubated, were on a ventilator, and were given droplet protection orders due to the undiagnosed and suspected viral condition once the patient arrived. So we'll have to follow through and see if we can find out whether that is the person.
Yes.
So now we must move quickly to what Michael Bodden thought.
Yes, Dr. Michael Bodden. This was on Fox News on February the 27th. Dr. Michael Bodden, why I am worried about the coronavirus. Dr. Michael Bodden, renowned forensic pathologist and a Fox News contributor, said Thursday that while he
believes... He was part of the O.J. trial, wasn't he?
He was, yes. Yes, an important part, as I recall.
Yeah, in those terrible years when I was sitting crippled with Lyme disease, probably another NWO bioengineered thing, and I was sitting trying to watch a black and white television, watching the O.J. chase and watching things about Michael Bodden. I was so ill, I could barely even think. I could barely even exist. But I'm so glad that I hung on and I believed in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior through that hell, that He would bring me out of it. And my reward now is the endurance the Bible talks about, so that we can be watchmen. We can be faithful, not in our own power, but with the power of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you should. We have heard a report that Roger Stone, and I heard the clip, he said, "I have taken Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord." And we do hope that is for real. Go ahead, Lou, about Michael Bodden.
Yes, Dr. Michael Bodden, who is renowned forensic pathologist, said Thursday that while he believes it is still much too early to be concerned about the impact of coronavirus being comparable to the Spanish flu, he is worried that, quote, it could be serious, unquote. In an interview on Fox and Friends, Biden said that the problem with coronavirus lies in its novelty. He explained, quote, "This doesn't compare to the Spanish flu as of now, but the problem here is that with the coronavirus, people can be sick and be contagious and have the bug in them and yet feel healthy. We haven't done enough studies. Less than 1,000 people who have been studied in the United States so far have been tested for it. We don't know how many people there are who are walking around now who are contagious and don't know they are sick. So that's why all the research has to be done. That is at the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC. They are looking at that right now. But we just don't know, and it could be more serious than we think it is, or less serious," unquote. And I'll interject here. Here's a link to a very shocking headline: coronavirus infects woman in Japan for the second time, a first in the country. Now, that is truly shocking. As Lou, I'll mention that, because does that mean you don't develop enough immunity to avoid it a second time?
And we've also heard that possibly then it'll keep coming back every season. And see, this is the Rahm Emanuel idea. We never let a good crisis go to waste. Then there'll be lots of time to develop these vaccines, and then they can become mandatory, just like the MMR and the, you know, pushing the Gardasil on the girls. We wonder what's ahead, don't we? Is there more on that article, or is that
there? Is yes.
Okay.
Now, this is a bit out of date, but so far, it says, there have been 60 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S. in total. That figure includes individuals who have been repatriated to the United States. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar later clarified at the podium.
And we have a question about him. He looks very Muslim, and I'm not prejudiced toward him because of that, but our own newspaper said he was a native of Salisbury, Maryland. We wonder whether he has the will. Is he part of the Muslim Brotherhood? Does he have the will to protect Americans? Get to the heart of that, Lou. Is there something about a few cases where it came back on them?
I think so.
Get to that heart and give us
15
that.
People in the initial set of cases, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that's old news now. And Fox's Ainsley Earhart asked Biden if he was worried, and he replied, quote, "I am worried about it, yes, because it's a new virus that comes into the community. We have no antibodies against it, no experience with it before," unquote. Biden said that with the flu, there is experience. People have partial immunities, and there is one death per every 100,000. Whereas with coronavirus, thus far, there have been 30 deaths recorded per 100,000. So he warned, quote, "So it could be serious." Now, I believe that's the end.
I thought it had some statistics. You don't have a second article there, do you? This talk. I think maybe I have something here.
Perhaps so.
It's possible. So let me see. I think I'll just give you here, encapsulating this, that Japan was ready to close all schools to halt the spread.
I think they have done that now.
Yes, I think they've done that.
I think Italy has as well.
Oh, okay, great. Now this might be a little outdated, too. We don't know. Iran canceled Friday prayers in Tehran. Saudi Arabia was stopping foreign pilgrims entering the country. Australia was extending a ban on foreign visitors from China. Italy, pardon me, has quarantined 11 towns. And so a lot was going on there. And the global markets, we know, went down. Oh, here. I do have something on this. Is it possible to be reinfected? By Philippa Roxby, health reporter from the BBC. There is still much that scientists don't know about this virus, and that includes the possibility of it infecting people more than once. Reports from China and Japan suggested that a small number of people recovered from the virus and then tested positive again within weeks. But there may be several reasons why that appears to be the case. Firstly, the virus may not have been completely gone away before they were discharged and allowed home, and then may have gotten worse again. Secondly, although tests are used to determine if the virus is still present, they are not always accurate and may not be sensitive enough to detect dormant virus or very low-level symptoms. Anal swabs, which have been used, are not totally reliable at picking up the virus either. The fact is that more information on these specific cases is needed before scientists can come to any conclusions about whether the virus gives future immunity. If reinfection is possible, some experts say the virus could act like the flu or common cold and infects people on a seasonal basis, just what I was telling you. Then this article talked again about what we know, that the Iranian political figure was infected, and he died, did he not, Lou? One of them?
Yes, I think he did.
I think. And Kuwait and Bahrain were recording more cases. South Korea saw new cases. I'm glossing over that a little bit because I need to get to some more information that's important. The virus appears to kill around 1% of people infected. Now, that is changed. Now, the article said that the old and the sick, the fatality rate was higher, but we have new statistics. Do you have that, the 3.2%, or do I?
Let me check on that. I don't believe that I do.
I believe I might have it, do
I? Perhaps so, yes. It might be.
If I don't, that's what the new statistics were that they came out with, the 3.2%. But we've heard people say that it really could be 5%. We're not even sure. Here I see it, okay. And this was pretty new. This was March 4th. Fox News by David Arrow. World health officials confirmed on Tuesday the fatality rate for the new coronavirus is at 3.4% globally. As Japan's Olympic minister said, there's a possibility the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo could be delayed. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, let's see, Ghebreyesus, I believe it is, the head of WHO, the World Health Organization, announced the increase in immediate briefing. And he said, while many people globally have built up immunity to seasonal flu strains, COVID-19 is a new virus to which no one has immunity. And, you know, that's really almost darkly humorous. If it's a bioengineered weapon that we hear that President Obama sold to China, of course we don't have immunity to this. But he said that means more people are susceptible to infection and some will suffer severe disease. So, again, we have that 3.4 figure. Let's just check out, see if there's anything else there that's important. We have to get to some bullet points now that are interesting. Also, we have a little bit here. New cases dropped again in China on Wednesday with only 119 reported. We can never know what to believe anyway on that. And now we go back again to some of these bullet points that tend to make us wonder whether this is an agenda for control. Okay, we first of all learned about the World Games, the World Military Games, October 18th, 2019. Months later, we're celebrating again. Here comes New York City. The UN celebrated this, that these had been held. And in October, that date, October 18th, 2019, the UN and the other countries and the U.S. sent 300 soldiers, held this mock-up world pandemic drill. Where? In Wuhan, China. And the soldiers were participating from China. They also wore the blue UN helmets. Bullet point two, Fox News' Dr. Mark Siegel reported in from Dulles Airport Monday, February 24th, that custom and border agents told him two flights from Japan and South Korea had arrived that day with little or no screening of passengers. He commented further that he saw almost no screening going on at all there at Dulles. And also that very day, he was told a flight was going to New York City, then on to China. Now think about that. That was not that long ago. That was February 24th. Point three, the CDC actively discouraged the states from testing for coronavirus. Four, as at the end of the week of February 29th, the CDC had tested only a few more than 200 people for the COVID-19 in a country of 300 million people. Point five, a recent Tucker Carlson Tonight Fox report revealed that young American students brought back from overseas study in Italy were not even tested as they arrived in America. And then we would add that Dr. Siegel then seemed to do an about-face. After he visited the National Quarantine Center in North Dakota, he raved over their testing procedures and their equipment and everything about it. And then he said that everything now was going well. But I was happy to see that the very next day, and that was Tuesday, February the 2nd, I guess that would be, wouldn't it? Tuesday the 2nd?
You mean March?
Yes, March 2nd.
Yes, that would have been.
That night, he was on Tucker Carlson, and he said that we are not testing enough people. And he called upon the FDA head, Dr. Hahn. He said, give us the test. Give us the test. So whatever's going on, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like we have a strategy that wants to win. So please prepare your families by stocking up on stored food and other necessities. And you must think about things like alcohol, paper towels. We heard there was a big run on the toilet paper in the Japanese grocery stores. And I think that I'm looking here because we've had to get so many papers here and try to keep it all together, and it's important things to give you. And I don't know whether I can find that paper. We just have to hold on here a minute with the bullet points that we had here. And now I think we have to see how. I wanted to also give you the phone number for Calbin, the soap company. Yes, good. Here I found it. Because I can't strengthen you enough in this idea that you must be self-sufficient. I'm not sure we will get to this article, but I think we will, where the worst scenario projected ahead could be where we pretty much are kept in our own homes, period. So here's a Calbent soap number. You could ask about the 25-pound laundry soap boxes. And you could ask whether you could get an advance sales special. I was able to save $20 on a set of two boxes. You could ask for that. You could say you're a listener of the Divided Kingdom and that you heard that Elizabeth Caverly got that $20 special and you wanted it. So their number is 1-800-340-7091. Again, that's 1-800-340-7091. Again, we don't get anything from them. I want to move right on here to Brandon Smith. How the pandemic crisis will probably develop over the next year. Now, this is a rather dire prediction, and this is from Natural News, but he says this is worse than anything that he has reported. And he says this: only in the past week have the media and certain government representatives suddenly decided to take the pandemic issue seriously. Why wait until there are large community outbreaks in South Korea, Iran, and Italy before instituting some travel guidelines? Why are flights still moving back and forth from these places to the U.S.? Why is Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, telling the country that the pandemic is contained and there's no threat to the economy? And I interject here that Mike Adams said recently that as long ago as 5 weeks ago, an insider told him that the virus had escaped containment in the state of Washington. Back to this article. Why is the Surgeon General of the U.S. telling people to stop buying N95 masks? Because they will not work for you. They only work for medical and CDC professionals. This is warped, fuzzy logic, and it's bizarre. I believe this behavior is quite deliberate, and that for the past 2 months, there has been a conspiracy to downplay the danger and keep as many people as possible passive and unprepared. Governments and the media have changed their tune in the past week because the threat can no longer be hidden. The outbreak is here, as we have seen in Washington State, where 9 people have died already. Just hold a second here. Now, he gets into a matter that could be very dire. Travel lockdown. Within the next 2 months, we will probably see at least a handful of government-enforced quarantines. Watch for checkpoints going up on main roads and highways, testing for fever and symptoms. And if you live in a high population area, it may be time to get out. I would say definitely if you're in a blue city. The biggest threat may not be the virus, but the subsequent economic crash as supply lines are cut off. I find most people are driven by conscience that we often see displayed in movies and TV shows. They're driven more by conscience, but without organization and a move to become self-sustainable. In the span of perhaps 3 months, the majority of airline flights out of the U.S. will stop. All interstate travel will be restricted. If you need to go somewhere, you better go now and you better get things in order. We don't have more time, but if you value this program, you can send a little cash or money orders, checks made out to WWCR, to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland. Again, that is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21679. God bless you and may He protect you.